afternoon, good evening. I'm Steve.
And I'm Mike.
And welcome to another episode of The Last Podcast You'd Want. How are we doing, everybody? More importantly, Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well. It's good to be back on.
It's great to have you back on.
It's like being lost from a home that you forgot you loved.
I love that you
don't hate.
Thank you so much. I love that so much. I mean, folks, me and Mike have already been chatting for like 30 minutes just about life in general, basic bullshit. We're opening doors. We're walking down hallways. You can definitely check out Mike's podcast. He's got the Single H Show with his son, Hunter. He's got just in general a DWO podcast. So definitely check that out. I'm going to be a guest. We're going to record after this. We're going to record an episode of his where we're going to be talking about lots of great things, stuff that we're actually going to be talking about on this episode as well. But before we get into that, we're going to start as we always do, and that is with IMDb birthdays. Now, Mike, I know that you are very familiar with this, so we're going to dive right into it.
I'm ready to fail. I'm going to be the first person to not get any right.
It's already happened. I can tell it's already happened. I wish you could have that title, but I don't know who is. Probably Travis. Travis probably has that title.
Did you ever watch the TV show Ed?
Ed.
Michael Ian Black was on it, and the guy that plays the Reverse Flash on the Flash TV show, I can't think of his real name because I always call him Ed.
No, I do not know the TV show Ed.
He was a lawyer. He owned a bowling alley, and there's one episode that Michael Ian Black throws a perfect game. He knocks down no pins at all. That's my goal for this game.
Okay, excellent. Is that called throwing a perfect game if you bowl and don't hit a single pin?
No, but it worked for the plot line of the show.
That's hilarious. All right, well, celebrating a birthday, we're going to start with the great actor Edgar from Men in Black, Vincent D'Onofrio. We're talking about, I believe, is he Private Joker? No, he's Pyle. He's Private Pyle.
Yes, Vincent D'Onofrio. All right, I gotta push late 50s, early 60s. I'm gonna say 62.
Close, 64. 64. How about Miss Lizzie Kaplan? Recently on the TV version of Fatal Attraction.
Okay, I don't know her.
She's gonna be in Masters of Sex with Martin Sheen. Have you seen Now You See Me Too?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just skip over Lizzie Kaplan. That's okay. Did you watch Lost in Space, the TV show on Netflix, the new one?
I have not seen that either.
No, then we're just going to skip right over her. Hey, how about David Alan Greer? Everybody knows David Alan Greer.
Yeah. I got to shoot 65 with Dag.
Dude, two off again. 67. Celebrating a birthday today. You know the movie Old School with Will Ferrell?
I do know this movie Old School for Will Ferrell.
Celebrating a birthday today, Mr. Rick Gonzalez. You're going to know him as Spanish in Old School. He's been in a bunch of other stuff as well.
Okay. I got to put him in the 50s. 55.
Ooh, 44.
44.
Okay. 44. And let's see. We're going to go for one more birthday.
Wasn't even close.
No, that's okay. You know what? I'm going to say right now, this is going to be a great birthday to finish on. If I can get my IMDb to go back to where it was, I can tell you the actor slash fighter. It's no one that anyone would ever want to get into a fight with. Iron Mike Tyson.
Oh, Mike. Okay.
Iron Mike!
He's in his late 50s. I got to put it at 58. I feel like he's about 10 years older than I am.
You were 1 year off, Mike. You were so close. 57. 57. Also,
he was winning all those matches when I was 8 years old, and he was like 18, 19 years old.
Holy
yeah.
Geez. Also celebrating a birthday today. I'll just shout it out. Gata, G-A-T-A, Gata from Lil Dicky. He's also a rapper. He turns 37.
In a row?
In a row. That's right. right.
There we go.
There we go. Real quick, because it's easy peasy lemon squeezy. Asteroid City came in number 6 with 9.1 million. Transformers Rise of the Beast, 12 million at number 5. No Hard Feelings, 15 million at number 4. The Flash at 15 million at number 3. Elemental at number 2 with 18 million. And number 1, 19 million of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And this is yet another week where I have seen all of the top 6 with the exception of 1.
I can almost predict what will be number 1 next week.
Yeah, it's going to be Indiana Jones.
It's going to be Indiana Jones.
I saw it. I'm not going to lie. I saw it last night.
Awesome.
I did a double feature yesterday of No Hard Feelings with Jennifer Lawrence, which every time I watch the trailer and even watching the movie, I just wonder, how was this not Amy Schumer? And then I went and saw Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. So those were fun. I won't give away anything because I know you haven't seen it yet.
Not yet.
But it is very, very much, in fact, an Indiana Jones movie. Now, the last movie that you saw in the theater was Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Now, I know we've talked about it on the show with Ryan, but let's go ahead and talk a little bit about it with you. What are your thoughts? First to start, are you a Marvel or a DC guy?
So I am a DC guy. I have loved, and I know that the DC movies get a lot of crap. I have loved every DC movie, including Justice League, the original print. And I like the Snyder Cut too.
But yeah, I prefer the Snyder Cut over. I'll take the 4.5 version because we get a legitimate story.
You know, it is a full story.
You get full stories. There's not just a random Russian family in the middle of nowhere, God knows why. It's a full, legitimate, solid story that you can watch in increments because each chapter is about an hour.
Absolutely. And you get to learn more, and you get Martian Manhunter too. So you can't pass up on that one either. Yeah.
I was very excited to see Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were saying, you love the DCU.
Very much a DC guy, but I don't turn down any comic movie. I'm good. I don't have to be in a camp. I will watch a comic book movie when it comes out. Except for The Flash. I haven't been to see The Flash.
And you know what, Mike? I will say, if you get the chance, go see The Flash. Even with all of the hate that's going on, I've said it, but the CGI, not that great. Trash CGI. But they say it's supposed to be that way, quote unquote. Lots of fun things in the movie in general. So I would say definitely, like, if you get the chance, especially being a DC guy and liking what they've put out, go see Flash. Oh, well, but you've already listened to the Flash episode.
I've already heard some of the things, but I'm good with that. I'm good. And the way that they've advertised the movie, it literally makes me want to see it more. They advertise it as a Batman movie. Most of the clips
are Michael Keaton. Sure.
And I would love to see Keaton again. Adam West will always be my Batman, but Keaton's awesome.
But like I mentioned, you do get a little West, which is really nice. So,
but I got to get to it because the kid, the single age, loves Flash, the character Flash.
Yeah.
So we got to go see it just for that.
I actually just recently found out. I think it's very interesting. And this would have been good to have on the other show, but it's great to have here with you being a fan. Recently shared a list amongst a group that I'm part of cameos that were rejected or trimmed in the Flash movie. So ones that were rejected, Henry Cavill, Superman.
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam.
Okay.
Linda Carter's Wonder Woman.
Really?
Marlon Brando's Jor-El.
Okay.
Burgess Meredith's Penguin.
I would have paid twice just for that.
I would be back in the theater right now, even if Burgess Meredith were in it for a hot second. I'd be back seeing it. Cesar Romero's Joker.
I would have I would have gone for that.
And now, and this one's higher up in the list, but I saved it for last because this is the one that I wanted the most, and that is Grant Gustin's Flash. And yeah, that is the Flash from the TV show.
I kind of had some hope, especially with everything that they've been dealing with the movie actor. I kind of had this hope that the universes would have split and they could have slipped Grant Gustin into the future movies.
I really wanted the movie to end with like Barry coming back and being like, what's happening? What's happening? And his face kind of going like inner space, like, yeah. And then it goes to, and it's just Grant Gustin like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah, that would have, even just for the comedy, that would have been awesome.
It would have. And then you give us Clooney as well. And then I would have needed new pants in the theater. So going to Guardians, cause you did see Guardians.
Yeah.
Where did you walk into this movie? Spoiler free.
I did.
Excellent.
Completely.
What were your expectations? What was your experience? Tell us your whole, just all around, what it was for you.
So my expectations was just for it to be a fun movie. I went in with no hope that it would be good. And I wanted it to not be good. I needed it a fun, awkward movie is what I went in for.
Okay.
What I went into and got was a fun, good movie. I liked Guardians 3. If people haven't seen it by now, too bad. they caught me. I thought that they killed Star-Lord. They caught me with that.
I thought, okay. So I thought they killed Drax, mm-hmm, when he got shot in the back. I thought they killed Drax. I thought they killed Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they killed Star-Lord. Like, they make you... I thought they were going to kill Sean Gunn's character, mm-hmm, the guy with the arrow. I walked out highly happy and highly surprised that everyone survived. Because Marvel gave James Gunn permission to kill whoever he wanted.
Yeah. And it's amazing when you have that, you do it just to get people to come in. After you hear who dies, you want to go see how it happened. And he didn't. It was really cool. One of the things I like the most about the movie is I love comics, but I wasn't really knowledgeable of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I had the least knowledge of Rocket Raccoon.
Sure.
And so I love this movie was almost like an origin story for Rocket, which I really liked.
I'm sorry. You said you had no knowledge of Rocket Raccoon. And all of a sudden I just hear, ladies and gentlemen, here's the tale of Rocky Raccoon. And I'm like, no, it's Rocket, not Rocky Raccoon. Rocket Raccoon. I said the Beatles pop right in my head. But no, I'm right there with you. And I think that's one of the reasons why like James Gunn wanted to do Guardians is because they are one of the least known groups that you could have in the Marvel Universe and make a solid movie.
Well, the people don't have any expectations over it. So you can go in and make the movie that you want, right? It's kind of like Iron Man. Iron Man was the best character to start the whole Marvel franchise on because Iron Man, even though he had his own line of comics, he was not Hulk, Thor, Spider-Man. He was not that character that you've already seen on a TV or a cartoon. And so you can start to create your own deal with this guy. And that's what Gunn got with the Guardians. You can make your own deal because you don't have this preconceived idea of how it should be. You haven't seen it on and depicted yet. You haven't even seen a cartoon with these characters. And you can make your own world with it.
Yeah. And they really did. Was there anything in the film that you didn't like that you would have changed?
I really not. I don't know that I would have. You know, maybe I would have killed one character. I mean, if they're not going to use anybody, go ahead and kill Groot. I mean,
well, okay, so here's the thing is you now is with that, you do have a continuation of the Guardians of the Galaxy because you still have the Guardians. The Guardians is now Rocket and Groot and Adam Warlock. What were you? Were you knowledgeable at all on Adam Warlock when you walked in? Did you
not really? No.
Okay.
Not really.
I think the representation of the Adam Warlock we got was very interesting because they make a point to say, oh, he's, you know, you hatched him too soon. He's not fully grown. He's basically a teenager, which he really is. He has the mother issues. He has the clinginess. Him and the pet. I love the actor that they chose. I think it was a very fun choice. I very much enjoyed the Adam Warlock we got compared to the Adam Warlock that we normally deal with in the comics, because Adam Warlock is a major fucking badass.
Awesome. Well, if they do more Guardians things, there's been talks, everything's from a Secret Wars movie to at one point they were talking about the X-Men versus the Avengers. So there's all these different ideas floating around that they could bring all these guys back for.
And with that, we did, I don't know if you stayed for the whole thing, but at the end we did get Star-Lord will return. So Chris Pratt still under contract.
Yeah.
I had to have it explained to me. Did you understand why suddenly Groot was like, I love you guys?
I think it was, so my feeling of it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, we might have different perceptions. I felt like we had finally been a part of this journey with Groot that we were allowed to understand him.
And that is exactly what it was. Is James Gunn had it, so he has been there. But I'm going to tell you right now, Mike, I am going to be so upset if in the next movie he's just like, so, guys, I was thinking we could walk down. Like, if they just start suddenly giving Vin Diesel lines to give him lines because he's been there so long, we understand him, I'm done. The whole gimmick of Groot, the whole great thing with Groot is you don't understand what he's saying. That's the whole gimmick.
Well, and they played that up a lot, even in the movie.
With Gamora.
Jokes about it. Like, you're kidding with this, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought it was really good. I thought it was really well done. I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Guardians 1 is still my favorite.
Yeah.
The soundtracks on all of them are all killer. I love it. But in reality, like, one is just such a good one. It'll always just hold, like, a special place for me.
Well, and if you notice too, after the first Guardians movie, like, Marvel changed. Like, Marvel became about the soundtrack. Like, the next Thor movie was about the music.
That was Ragnarok, I want to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I mean, you start out with Led Zeppelin. It's even the next Thor movie's music driven.
But then you look at my counterpoint to that is you look at the director. For me, it's the director. You have James Gunn, who's an amazing director, and then Thor Ragnarok, Taika Waititi, who's just extremely talented in everything he does. And when it goes from What We Do in the Shadows to going up to Thor.
He directed What Do We Do in Shadows?
He's the creator of What We Do in the Shadows.
Man, I did not know that. I love that too.
So are you talking the movie or the TV show?
I haven't seen the TV show because I'm a big Flight of the Conchords guy. So I went to go see it because of Clement.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. Watch the TV show. I don't want to spoil anything, but you get Taika and you get them in the TV show.
Okay.
Watch the TV show. The TV show is so good. I cannot say enough good things about What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show. Hopefully they should all be on Hulu. If you have Hulu, they should be there. Taika Waititi in his own right. I still need to watch our our flag means death on on HBO.
I want to see that too. I have not seen that.
Where he plays Blackbeard.
Okay, I gotta check it out.
So Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is great. Let's talk about another movie that you've been exploring lately. Now, I know that you're planning on going tonight. Annie is coming with you. Your daughter is coming with you.
Rick Kane will be there tonight. That's kayfabe name for the podcast. Rick Kane will be with me.
Rick, copy that. Copy that. And then have you convinced Single H to go yet?
Not yet. Now, Single H is the most that hardcore person in our house. He has the hardcore diet. He has his set bedtime.
I feel it. I feel it.
But I am trying to get – I want him to go. I really do.
Well,
I got to have ESI if Single H goes.
I do. I tell you what. When I see you on the 15th, if Single H is there, I'll straight look at Hunter and be like, hey, you got it. I'll come and I'll rock it with you. You got to check it out. So we'll see if we can make it happen. But I feel – I'm not one to pressure. Someone has their set schedule. As someone who gets cranky after a certain point in time and just wants to go to bed, I understand. I completely get it. But that movie, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So let's talk a little bit about Rocky, because it was a hardcore part of my life for 7.5 years. For you, Mike, when were you first introduced to the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I was 17 years old when I saw it the first time. It was when it had to have been like a 10th anniversary or something, because it finally came out on VHS.
Okay.
You got to understand, I grew up in Martinsville, Virginia, small southern town, and there wasn't a show on the Rocky Horror Picture Show anywhere. So I didn't have that ability yet. But my first connection to it, it had to be around one of the anniversaries. So it had to be a 10th anniversary. So I had to be, God, I had to be 10 years old, because I was born in 75, the same year it came out.
Okay.
And MTV started showing Time Warp as a music video.
Nice.
So for my first crush was Columbia.
Little Nell. All right.
Dancing down the thing, because a southern, little scared southern white boy had never seen anything like Columbia dancing on the screen. Okay. So I had to be at least 10. It may have been the 15th anniversary of Rocky when they did the music video. So,
I'll tell you right now, 85 is probably prime real estate for them to start playing the music video for the Time Warp. That just seems like the roundabout right time.
Yeah.
So
then I get to 17 and they finally put it on VHS. And I went to Blockbuster, that place that doesn't exist anymore. And the tape was behind the box. I didn't have that disappointing moment that I saw the box but no tape behind it. And I watched Rocky Horror Picture Show for the first time. I don't know if you've shared this in this podcast, but I got to share a little bit of my history with this.
Please share as much as you like.
I grew up in a really strict conservative Christian church, going at Southern Baptist. You're going to hell if you listen to Pat Boone Church. Okay. So that actually made watching Rocky Horror more attractive to me.
Sure, sure.
Because I'm the teenage kid that's always been told no, and this is bad and this is bad. So I had to watch Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Little Nell got me there.
There it is. So getting in, I mean, because I'm not gonna lie, but it's you know. It's always been a little bit of a thing in the back of mine. You grew up in a very religious household.
Let me fix that. I didn't. My mom and dad were not religious.
You just grew up in a religious area and you were religious.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you found God and knew that what you are doing today is what you wanted to do in life?
Okay. So I found God when I was 14.
Okay.
I realized what I wanted to do for the rest of my life when I was 21.
Okay.
So it's kind of this long journey. I actually wanted to be a music teacher. My degree's in music education.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but my master's degree is in theology. And I always wanted to be a music teacher. So music was always a part of what I wanted to do. Musicals like Rocky Horror. Musicals kept me kind of in the secular a lot, which is why that I am such a...
Which is why the way you are the way you are today.
Yeah. That because I don't see the differentiation. Steve, you're going to freak out, okay? For my Christmas Eve video, and if I can find it, I'll send it to you on YouTube. I took out some of the lines from it, but I play There's a Light in our Christmas Eve video service talking about Bethlehem. So, okay? That's honest to God truth. I will
find it. Oh, you could change it. That's great, because you could change it to Over at the Frankincense Place.
Over at the Frankincense Place.
Yes. Yes.
So there's always been this swirl for me, which we'll talk about it whenever you want to, which helps me be more open to things, and I wish that more people were.
Yeah.
But that's as much as I'll say about that.
No, so you got into Rocky when you were a teenager.
Yeah.
How old were your kids when you decided to introduce them? Like, are you just introducing Rick to it now?
Rick knew about it in ninth grade.
Okay.
Rick found the DVD in the house and said, "Can I watch this?" And I said, "Yes, you can watch it by yourself. Go watch it by yourself."
So here's the difference between you as a parent and my parents. My father introduced me to Rocky when I was 9 years old, but I was only allowed to watch the movie with him.
Okay.
He woke up one Saturday morning and I had just put it on. So it came out for some anniversary and my father got this big box that had the lips on it. And it was the VHS. And then there was a VHS of like behind the scenes. And then there was the play CD of just the Rocky Horror Show. There was the Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack. There was the Rocky Horror Picture Show in Japanese soundtrack. And I want to say there might have been one other CD that came with it. And I remember playing the movie, and we had just gotten done with like Damn It, Janet. So the movie had just started, and my father woke up and came downstairs and actually yelled at me like, "Hey, you aren't supposed to watch this. You're only supposed to watch this with me." Like, and it wasn't him trying to be like sentimental or anything like that. It was him being like a father doing what he thought was right on what I should be watching, which I understand. I don't have a child yet, but I get that parental of the things that happen in the movie, the themes of the movie, me being 9, 10 years old, you know, ninth grade, you're a teenager by that point, you know, you're like 14, 15 years old. But once I really was introduced to it, I loved it. I legitimately taught my third grade class the Time Warp.
Awesome.
My parents recorded the sound of it with the criminologist and all of that. And I taught it to the whole class. And then the whole class got up and had to do the Time Warp with me. So Rocky has always been in my life from a very young age, even with my father being very restrictive of it.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I always remember, and this is just me being a child, and I think it's hilarious, is I didn't know who was who. So I saw the name Little Nell. And then in one of the shots is all of the Transylvanians. And I naturally was like, "Oh, that must be Little Nell," because they have a small person in the movie. I just naturally thought that the small person was Little Nell. Years later, I am doing in the same theater where we saw it in Encinitas, California, when I was 16 years old. I did a production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And we as a cast decided to go to Rocky that night. And that was my first introduction to a live show with an audience. A couple years later, I went back with friends and loved it. Ended up becoming a regular, joining the cast. I was part of the cast for 7.5 years. And I have played every character in the movie with the exception of Janet and Magenta.
You got to be Janet at least once. Come on.
I'm way good on Janet. Way good on Janet. Way good on Magenta. To be honest, I only played Frank and Riff once. Yeah. And that was pure happenstance of we had one of our cast members had what we called a vomit night. And that's where everybody's name goes in a hat. And then names are drawn at the beginning of the show in front of the whole audience of who will be playing whom.
Awesome.
And I was lucky enough to draw Riff, and I don't know if I'd call it lucky enough to play Frank. But I played them both once. Eddie is by far my favorite character to play. Columbia was probably was the most exciting. There's a difference between fun and exciting. Fun, Eddie, you're a rock star. You go out there 3.5 minutes, you blow your load, then you're done. Columbia, you're there pretty much the whole movie, and you have a wardrobe change. You have two wardrobe changes because you have to go from the corset and the short shorts to the bedtime outfit. The great thing is in between that, you can put on your floor show outfit if you really want. You can just wear that underneath the pajamas. But then you have your floor show outfit. It's very interesting to walk around in a full corset, garter belt, fishnets, high heels as a dude. And then being at your place of actual work and having someone come up and be like, oh, I've seen you play Columbia. To which I legitimately, in a full crowded theater with people behind them, went, oh, you've seen me in full lingerie. Yeah. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, cool. Here's your popcorn. Have a great day. No, I love Rocky. I think it's great. I love the fact that you're bringing your kids to the show, introducing it to them. If you want to work on those callbacks, I know you're working on some.
We've been practicing.
I can give you some good ones, some of my favorites. Other than that, I know that you just got AEW Fight Forever, correct?
Yeah, and we got the glitchy PS4 version, so we literally had to turn off our internet so we could play it.
That's so, no fun.
Yeah, but hopefully they'll get it fixed and we can pull it through. It's kind of cool.
Who are you looking forward to playing as the most?
You'll slap me in the face for saying this, but I can't wait to be Orange Cassidy. Absolutely.
Cool.
Because I'm going to lose like 7,000 or 8,000 times before that I even get used to playing it.
So. No, that's great. You give him the horrible record because he's like way undefeated right now. He should have dropped the belt to Jarrett. I'm going to say right now, he should have dropped the belt to Jarrett.
Yeah, I thought I still would be surprised if he and Jay Lethal don't become tag team champions. I
wanted a Mark Briscoe heel turn. When they had Briscoe as the special enforcer, I wanted a Briscoe heel turn. I still haven't watched Dynamite.
Okay. It's a good show this week, so I won't say anything.
No, that's okay. I'll be talking about it Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check out Sundays on YouTube. Layeth the Squad Down. It's back to the retro Mod Squad subsidiary, call it what you will, Mod Squad, that's been up in that top corner the whole time. Don't know how that's been up there, but it's cool. We're part of the Mod Squad network. Other than that, I'm excited for that. Is there anything else that you'd really want to talk about before we wrap things up?
No, this was absolutely awesome, sir. What a great time.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on. It's been a blast. Mike, go ahead and plug yourself again for the people that are still listening. What's your show? Where are you at? Where can people find you?
You can find us at DWO Podcasting, and we got two shows. It's a Single H show. It's a conversation of a dad and his son's transgender journey. And we've had some great times with that one. It's been real cool. It's been helping me learn and helping me be a supportive dad. And it's been cool having Single H hear his voice change through these conversations. And then also you can listen to Parts of Unknown. That's kind of our whatever podcast. And there might be a familiar guest soon. So we'll see how that goes as well.
Excellent. Mike, I love having you on. We're going to have you come on back. We'll do a draft episode and we'll get you and another guest on and we'll draft some really fun stuff. Other than that, I know that you're a man of faith, a man of God, message of positivity that you'd like to leave the listeners with, that you'd leave, your fellowship. I don't know what you'd call them.
Well, the best gift you can give another person is open ears. That is my moment of positivity.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of The Last Podcast You'd Want. And until next time, tip the veal, try the staff. We'll see you then.
Thanks for coming to see our show.
Sad to tell you, we got to go.
Grab your hat and head for the door.
In case you didn't notice, there ain't any more.
If you like our show, tell everyone but...
If you think it's stinks, keep your big mouth shut.
If you came up, we have to...